The first full school year under the COVID-19 pandemic is about to end. Unlike last year, local high school graduates can look forward to walking the line in ceremonies this year, albeit with limited guests. And Yuma Union High School District, the body responsible for educating 11,000 students, is looking ahead to more that is closer to normal and maybe some things that are unexpected. I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. My guest today is Yuma Union High School's School District Superintendent, Gina M. Thompson. Thank you for speaking with us. This week, there was some blowback from parents on their continued requirement for masks at a school district near Tucson. We've talked in the past about how important keeping parents in the loop for you is and for the district. For people who don't know, I wanted to catch them up. What is the current mask policy at Yuma Union High School District schools, and how have you handled any pushback from parents?
Hey, thanks for asking. We are currently staying the course to finish this semester with required mask usage, not only by students, but staff and visitors on all of our sites, our campuses, as well as other work sites. Our students have been amazing and have followed all of our mitigation plans, and we feel in the best interest of getting to the end of the school year and a healthy summer that we want to continue that work, especially considering the fact that, you know, we can't always appropriately social distance depending on class size and just different aspects of being in high school. And so we are continuing to stay the course with mask usage. We will be taking it to our governing board to discuss how to move forward at our next governing board meeting in May. And just to kind of make sure that we emphasize staying the course, getting through this semester. We only have a little bit longer, and wanting to have a healthy end of our school year.
And you mentioned students have been cooperative and adaptable. You also had a lot more students than some other districts return when you open classes up.
I cannot emphasize enough how proud I am, and I always have been, but I think our students continue to demonstrate not only leadership, but a true understanding of citizenship and just respect for process. They may not all agree, and we may not all agree, but they, you know, value their education. They value those sitting next to them, and we just have had zero conflicts with students. And I'm just continue to say that Yuma County is producing amazing young students that will go out and be great leaders someday.
What is the district's policy on COVID-19 vaccinations? Is it something required or simply encouraged, both for employees, teachers, and students?
We have been very fortunate to have gone through the process to have an offered day for vaccinations for all of our employees. It is not required. People do have choice, and so it's not required to be vaccinated, but you are required to report to your work site and your work location.
Do you have any sense of how many students or staff are vaccinated, or have you even asked?
I don't have a good sense of students for the 16 and up vaccinations yet. I'm going to say staff, we're probably over 70% at this point. We have a little over 1,100 employees in Yuma Union High School District, and many of them took advantage of the days offered through Yuma County Health Department for our district, and then some have gone independently.
Of course, the big news is it looks like you made it. School's out soon. I thought I would talk to you about what you'd be doing on your summer break, but it looks like you'll be pretty busy, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Because before that, you have graduation ceremonies coming up. I know last year was a bit odd, but as someone who has not ever attended a local high school graduation in Yuma, I have to say I enjoyed the opportunity to watch it online, the virtual access last year. How will this year be different?
Thank you, and thank you for watching last year. It was a lot of people put a lot of work into that. It wasn't, you know, the best case scenario, but it was the best that we could produce given the circumstances of our global pandemic. This year, we've had a committee of parents, community members, staff, student input, and we will be having graduation. The graduates obviously will be in person. Currently, there are two guests that will be allowed to come with each graduate, and we're exploring all of the other possibilities. We're not quite there yet, so we're very excited to know that students will have the opportunity to walk the line, that we are continuing to work as a district to refine what we can accommodate in person with the graduates.
And perhaps some virtual showing as well.
Yes, we have live streaming being planned, most of the schools are hiring, I believe, outside folks to come and do that to try to ensure that we have the best viewing possible, but it's not something that's easy to find vendors to do that. So they've done, like I said, the activities assistant principals, campus principals, and students and staff and community have really come together to put the best foot forward and be the safest possible while still having an experience for our seniors.
What's the level of excitement, do you think, in possibly getting back to something more approaching normal?
I think the level of excitement is pretty high. Everyone's a little tentative because you don't know what's going to happen. I get a lot of questions about what about next year. I've tried to practice not only living in the moment, but really being a good steward of looking at the Yuma County data and metrics. Luckily, we have a great county health department and hospital that provide the data. So, we're super excited and mostly excited because we know that our county health department and hospital continue to provide those vaccinations to try to bring us all to a safer place, or at least have the opportunity to make that choice.
A lot of talk recently about how students might have gotten behind during the virtual part of the year. What can you tell us about this graduating class and your confidence in, that they are where they need to be?
This graduating class has just gone through something that most of us, either as students or in the future, will not experience. They definitely have not laid down as victims. They are resilient. They champion their own education. They've learned to advocate for themselves. They've learned, I think they demonstrate this learning about valuing everyone around them and not just their own choice or for their own sake. And I think, in true Yuma community spirit, that is what Yuma's all about, is really living in, just making a better place for everybody in Yuma County. It's a very special community, and our students demonstrate that every single day. As far as falling behind, it's an interesting concept considering the fact that the entire globe has experienced the same thing. So I'm not sure who or what we are behind in. Our teachers have gone above and beyond in offering an academic experience. And learning has gone on regardless of the place that the student was engaged from for the classroom experience, for the academic experience. But I think learning is also a social and community thing. Even in isolation, so much has gone on to learn about how to be a great citizen and how to be a good community member and value everyone's life and choice. It's definitely been an ongoing experience of having to really listen to one another. And I think that's part of the beauty of public education in general, is that in public education, you get to hear from all kinds of people with all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of life experiences. And quite honestly, students hear each other. They sit and they listen and they hear, and they may disagree, but again, that's all part of the learning experience, whether you're online or in person.
I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. My guest today is YUHSD Superintendent Gina Thompson. I mentioned I thought you might get a bit of a break this summer, but the district has launched what I understand to be an expansive and ambitious summer program. In fact, news today also that Governor Doug Ducey is distributing close to $27 million to support summer learning programs. Tell us about what's different about this upcoming summer program offered through YUHSD.
Thank you for asking. And I think one of the most exciting things, and I hope that this gives our community so much confidence and gratitude for our teachers and the administrators required to have a summer learning program. We are at an all-time high of teachers applying to teach in summer learning. You know, you hear a lot about how exhausted everyone is, and yeah, we're tired. Like, who isn't? We're all tired, and teachers of all have had to live in this world and try to meet everyone's needs, and quite frankly, still get a little beat up out there in society. But in Yuma, the supports are real, and we have more than ever educators wanting to participate in the summer learning program. That takes administrators, that takes teachers, that takes kids coming. It's a true community effort. And this is just an opportunity to retrieve any learning and credits that did happen to get lost in the transition for our students during COVID. Teachers will take kids from where they are. It's in person only. It's June 1st through the 18th, 7:45 to 12:45. And again, it's a choice. Summer is not required. This is a choice for families to have an in-person experience to see where their kids are and get those course equivalencies and credits taken care of.
You mentioned students were sometimes their own best advocates. How much of a role did they play in wanting this summer program?
We always have summer learning in Yuma Union High School District. This is having summer programming is not new. Students have always taken advantage of that at a high level. And I will say counselors, guidance directors, guidance counselors at all of the high schools, if students aren't taking advantage, they know how to go ahead and advocate for those students and help them be motivated to get to summer learning. It really takes everybody. And sometimes those guidance counselors have to sit individually with every single student and go through their transcript. And boy, this is really something you should take advantage of. So, you know, it's everybody. And if kids aren't taking advantage and aren't able to advocate, or they don't have the information to advocate for themselves, this is part of the learning process, is learning how to advocate and learning what is available to you and then taking part in it.
The other big news is that the district is hiring, and I have to admit, I was impressed at the number of positions listed when I visited the website today. You're hiring across all departments. Are these refilled positions that you had to let go last year, or new positions, or some combination?
Actually, we did not let anyone go. I'm very proud to say that because of the leadership of our governing board and our chief finance officer, you know, we were at a place that we knew that we could keep everyone employed through COVID, and everyone had a work to do, work site, and technology to be able to do it from home if appropriate for that position. So what we have is either additional programming or additional supports, or because of attrition from teachers who are retiring or moving to a new adventure.
There's a bit of a pay difference now between now and a few years ago. Can you explain how some of these pay raises came to be, and does it address any issues that came up for the district in the past?
Our pay raises over the past 4 years, it equates to a 33% raise for certificated staff, and our other staffing has received raises as well. It comes from a variety of sources, and you know, there's work that goes on with our CFO and using our Prop 301 funds appropriately, using the prop funds. We try to put everything back into salaries. I know every district does that. We've also been fortunate to be able to work and use our M&O for those raises. And because we are able to go to school facility board, for example, for school improvements, and things like that. So it's really about trying to attract first, because I know people talk about retain, but first you have to be attractive. Yuma County is an attractive place to live, but we do have to have attractive salaries. And I know all of our districts are working really hard to do that.
Even though it looks like it's going to be a busy summer for you, Can you reflect a bit on this past year? As I've assessed for myself and in my professional life, a lot more could have gone wrong than did this past year. And I attribute that to the people around me, our listeners. What about you?
I would agree. I feel especially fortunate to live in Yuma. Going on my 32nd year, and I've never felt more fortunate. Sometimes we all get down, and then you kind of see what goes on elsewhere in not only Arizona, but, you know, just across the nation. And I can't think of a better place to live and not only raise children, but to offer public education. I am forever thankful for all of the employees in Yuma Union and especially my own team. So I too have had a lot of time for reflection and a lot of time to count blessings for the leaders that govern our existence in Yuma Union, our governing board. And I'm just, you know, like you said, there's a lot of things that could have been a lot worse. But I know that so many of our families did have a lot of things that they have suffered. And I think it's really going to be important moving forward that everyone is empathetic and that everyone is going through some kind of a journey, and just to first be kind and forego judgment and let's get back on track together, because honestly, everybody's doing the very best they can with what they have.
Well, you knew you had a supportive community. What perhaps did you learn about students, parents, or even your own staff?
I'm going to go back to resiliency, and I'm also especially reflective and proud of the fact that we had more collaboration than ever with our teaching staff as well as our support staff. We had ongoing Google meetings where, you know, normally we would meet together, but I honestly think we met probably double of what we would normally meet because we were able to meet virtually, and it was a place to not only share frustrations and process how we're getting through COVID, but it was a professional growth opportunity, and it was truly aligning our systems with one another and sharing. So I think for that, we probably are well ahead of where we would have been, not only curriculum, but just relationships with our staff. And the other piece of that is our technology department. We're in a consortium with Yuma Elementary District 1, so we're able to really combine resources, and we have amazing leadership there with Dean Farr, our chief information officer, and his team. So when COVID first hit, we had already done some things that really positioned us in a place to be able to take the opportunity and move forward with the personalized learning and the instruction at home with technology, because we already had laptops for every student, or netbooks for every student, and laptops available for every teacher. So we were, I'm not going to say ahead of the game, because I don't think anywhere on the planet was ahead, but I'm going to say we definitely were out in front as to be able to offer not only the education opportunities, but the professional opportunities.
I want to ask one more question, and that's it's a question that comes up a lot to actually our reporters when they're out in the field in South County, and it's about the Somerton High School. What can you tell us about progress on that, or a future date, perhaps?
I would love to give a future date, but I can't. We are still in the pipeline seeking the rest of the funding, which is about $26 million. When the bond passed in 2015, $20 million of that bond was allocated for Somerton High School. We will have recognized about $25 million, not only the $20 million from the bond, but another $5 million from our own resources. But that won't build the full school. So everything for us is dependent upon right now school facility board or if there's a hope for legislative budget in order to get the rest of the dollars to start the school. Nothing would be worse than starting a school and having it sit empty and not big enough for what we need to do. Equity is a huge piece for Yuma Union High School District, and equity also means an equity in programming. So it's really critical for us that Somerton High School is better than any other high school. You always want to build your next thing better than the one before that. So there's a lot of programming that goes into that, and it's all at a cost. We are in the still finishing the design phase. We network with our architects constantly, and we meet with the city of Somerton pretty regularly. But we're all kind of at that place where we're waiting for our school facility board next season, or something a little bit earlier.
All right. Gina M. Thompson, superintendent of the Yuma Union High School District. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and to get your insight.
Thank you. You know how much I love this district and this community, so I could pretty much talk all day about how proud I am. So thank you for the opportunity.
Yuma Union High School District serves about 11,000 students in our community. As Thompson notes, what an amazing year they are about to complete. Congratulations to them and the graduates of the class of 2021. That is Arizona Edition for this week. The show is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments about the program are welcome. Send them to news@kawc.org. More information and past programs can be found at kawc.org, along with links to more information on all of our programming. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. Thanks for listening.